message. Get you out of here before 3 o'clock today. Sound good? No cry. It's all right. Just joking. I'm trying to get somebody to smile. Sometimes getting somebody to smile is like, some it works and some it doesn't. I don't know. Luke chapter 2, one verse. I'm going to be bringing messages today and next week, Wednesday night. All the messages that I bring are going to be on Christmas. At least the subject of Christmas. The birth of Christ. That's what Christmas is all about, by the way.
Amen.
It's the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, we can haggle, we can argue about the name Christmas, where it came from, and all the religious things, and we could get into, you know, all of that stuff. I'm not going to get into that with you. You want to argue about that stuff? Go argue at home with somebody else. I love Christmas. I enjoy the time of year.
Yes.
Christ is mentioned first in the word Christmas. We put it on the sign, keep Christ in Christmas. So many people have removed that. They put a great big X, M-S, M-A-S. Xmas, people, you know, instead of saying Merry Christmas, they'll say Merry or Happy Holidays or Merry Xmas. No. I like to say Merry Christmas.
Amen.
We're out and about in the store, whatever. Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Yeah.
And I'm getting a lot more of that.
Yes.
More people are starting to say that again. They realize that they don't have to be politically correct. That's a blessing. But again, a lot, as I said in Sunday school, a lot of people don't really understand what Christmas is all about. Ask your average student out there, it's Santa Claus, or it's something else. You know, it's not Jesus Christ. Now, if a child is raised by a parent that understands the true meaning of Christmas, okay, maybe that child will understand it. I hope that you parents that have children will make sure that they understand the true meaning of Christmas. It's not all about, you know, the chubby guy in a red suit and a big white beard. It's not all about him. Christ is the one that knows all about us. He knows whether you're good or bad, naughty or nice, right? It's not the other guy. You do what you want to do in your own home, but around here we don't talk about that. Luke chapter 2, verse 7, one verse. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Things were pretty busy around the town of Bethlehem at this time of year. They were summoned, they had to go and actually do a census. Every 14 years, the Roman government required that. They had to go and they had to give their name, they had to give their occupation, they had to talk about their family, write all that stuff down. And this was that time of year in which they had to do that. And Joseph was taking his to-be wife to go and handle this situation. Caesar Augustus came up with it, according to verse 1. And so, little did they know, little did Mr. Augustus, or the king, or the emperor at the time, little did he know that he was actually feeding in to do exactly what God wanted him to do. God even controls and has oversight of even all the governments of the world.
Amen.
And he had the oversight of this government here also in Rome. We know that this was based upon a nighttime scene because of the shepherds, the angels appearing to them at night. And so it's ironic. I forget how many of our own children were born at night. Seems like a lot of kids are born at night. I don't know why. Why is that, ladies? You don't know either. Never mind. Don't try to figure it out. But this was a nighttime scene. Joseph and Mary, they made their 80-mile trip from Nazareth down to Bethlehem, approximately 80 miles, when they came to this area. And they couldn't find a place. They couldn't find a room to have. The inn there that's mentioned in that verse is would be similar to maybe what we would call a motel today or a hotel. Nothing fancy. They didn't have fancy things like we do today. You know, we go online, we're going on a trip. Let's say you're going on a trip, you want to find a nice hotel or whatever. You want to look for as many stars as possible. You want to listen or read the reviews to make sure it's a clean place, right? We've been into some hotels that weren't so clean. We've had to leave some places that weren't so good. But, you know, you want to make sure that when you're out traveling, you come to a place that you're going to feel somewhat comfortable in. They didn't have that option back in those days. They were pretty much stuck with whatever was available. And so they get to the place, and they're requesting a place that they could have a room. Here, Mary's ready to deliver. I mean, she sits 9 months, and it's time. And you know, you ladies that have given birth, you know what that feels like. Can I make an amazing statement right here? Men can't get pregnant.
Amen.
I keep hearing this now out there in the world. That, oh yes, men can get pregnant. No, they can't. I don't know what people are thinking out there, but it's the most ridiculous thing. You know what? When I hear the nonsense that's going on there, I have a little phrase that I use in my mind. I'll share that with you. You may not like it, but I say, you're an idiot.
Amen.
You don't, I know you don't. Some of you, Pastor, you shouldn't say that. They're idiots to say these stupid things and make these stupid comments. It is physically, we got a couple nurses in here. Isn't it physically nurse? I mean, I don't have to be a nurse or a doctor to, right? Am I right?
You're right.
You can be politically incorrect here. We can't, guys, we can't give birth. Thank you, Lord. You don't want to give birth. I don't, you know, we're not into that kind of stuff. It is foolish that people would think that way. Anyway, Mary's about ready to give birth to the Savior of the world. They had no nice place for her to give birth. How would you ladies like to give birth out in a barn, kind of like stable? Huh? Those of you that have had little babies recently? Huh? How about it, Julie? You don't want to get it? All right. And Liz, would you like to get... Titus wasn't born in a barn. You ever say that to your kids? What were you, born in a barn? Take off your boots. Clean up yourself. Come on. Jesus was born in a barn. That's one thing that Mary and Joseph could never say to Jesus. Were you born in a barn? Yes, I was. Remember? But I don't think they had to tell him to clean up.
Amen. You know,
I think he just did that automatically because he was God and he knew what to do.
Amen.
But you couldn't say that to Jesus. You could say that to us, but none of us was born. Anybody born in a barn that's here today? Maybe you gave birth, ladies, you gave birth to a baby in a barn. Any lady? Do you know any lady that has given birth to her other than Mary in the Bible? Do you know a family that had... We knew a family not long ago that gave birth in her home. We've heard that. There has been emergency births in cars, and police cars, and in ambulances. But most of the time, you make it to a hospital, right? Ladies, don't you feel better in a hospital room?
Right.
Hooked up to all those things, listening to all of that stuff, doctors and nurses running around, telling you how to breathe, what to do. Ah, here comes the baby. The baby comes out. They take the baby. They clean the baby up, snip the little cord there, do all of that stuff, unless they have you do it. I think I clipped one or two cords. It was the weirdest feeling I've ever done. I mean, it was just weird. I think Sarah, when we, Steph gave birth to Sarah, that was... Maybe in Suzanne, I don't know. I think I was in the father's waiting room. They actually used to have the father's waiting room. You go there and you wait. We'll come and tell you what it is. We didn't know what it was, you know. You know, the doctor comes in with his scrubs on. Well, you had a healthy little girl. Praise the Lord. You can come see them now. You know, it wasn't like we had to be in there. But then I was in there for all the other ones, and the doctor would play his nice, soft, classical music, and Kathy was screaming and trying to, turn that music up over there. We got a live one on our hands. I forget which one it was. We've had so many. One of them, she was in a lot of pain. And she, go get the anesthesiologist now. Don't come back. And you guys had been in the same. We'd go to the hallway and look around. No anesthesia. He'll be out. He's coming. He's on his way. Lord, I'm so sorry. I had to lie. I don't know how many times she told me, get out in the hallway. Go find that guy. I want anesthesia now. She was in a lot of pain. And I think if us guys were in the same situation, we would knock me out. Give me a Brennan, bring your hammer, please. We couldn't handle it, guys. God knew that. We couldn't handle it. You hit your little thumb with a nail and you can't deal with it. Some of you can't deal with a sniffle. Put me to bed. I can't go to work. I can't go to church. I got this wrong with me, that wrong with me. We're just like that. We're a bunch of
wimps,
sissies, wusses. We couldn't handle that. We can't handle it. We can barely handle our wife going through it, let alone us going through it. So Mary and Joseph, they're in town. Can't find a place to lay down and for Mary to go through her delivery. The only thing available was a stable in the back of the inn, apparently, where they would keep the horses, lambs, goats, chickens, whatever else they had running around back there. And the only place they could put Jesus was in a manger. Do you know what a manger is? It's a feeding trough.
Yep.
It's what the animals would eat out of. Now, moms, how would you like to have to lay your child into a feeding trough that the cows and the sheep and the chickens and they're all eating? And you know what they do? They slobber all, the cows slobber all over the place. Huh? Right? You'd like to lay your baby down in that? Well, that's where Jesus was born. They had to lay him in a manger. Now, they filled it with straw or hay or whatever. I mean, it was nice. I'm sure it was somewhat comfortable, but you wouldn't want to have your child in that situation. Jesus came in probably the most humble way of any human being. Born and laid in a manger. There are many great nights in the Bible, some with tragedy and some with hope. The night the death angel came through Egypt and killed all the firstborn of the Egyptians but saved the Israelites. Jacob dreaming of the ladder that reached to heaven with angels ascending and descending. The night that King Belshazzar feasted in the palace and saw the handwriting on the wall. That was a shocker to him. The night that Daniel stayed all night in the lion's den and wasn't eaten by lions. The night that Nicodemus came to Jesus and found out how to be born again. That was a good night for Nicodemus. We believe that Nicodemus was born again. He was saved. The night that Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane and was there in agony, literally sweating blood from his brow because of what he was going to be going through within the next 24 hours. The night that Peter denied the Lord. Wasn't a good night for Peter. But he did it. The night that Paul and Silas were in jail was an amazing night.
Yeah.
Sang hymns and sang songs and prayed at midnight. The entire jail, prisoners, the jailer heard them. And I believe the jailer was saved because of them, because of the testimony that they were that night. The night that Paul and his companions were shipwrecked and God saved the entire crew from shipwreck. But I got to say this, I think the greatest night in all history was the night that Jesus was born.
Amen. Amen.
The greatest birth of all history was not when Donald Trump came into the world, or Joe Biden, or Nancy Pelosi, or anyone. Or any king. The new king of England is going to be coronated next month, whenever that is. Would you like to go to his coronation?
No.
No, I don't have any desire to go to his coronation either. The night that Jesus Christ was born was the greatest night in history. The greatest birth of all human beings in the entire world was the birth of Jesus Christ. Again, he was born in this manger, in this feeding trough for animals. And it's kind of ironic because I think lambs would eat out of that feeding trough, and Jesus was called the Lamb of God.
Amen.
Which taketh away the sin of the world. God had promised that a Savior would be human, not an angel. An angel could not come down and do what Jesus did.
Right.
We see that in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, the actual prophecy that was made in that verse, that it was going to be a human birth, not an angelic being. We know that He was going to be a Jew and not a Gentile. Sorry, Gentiles, but Jesus was a Jew. He would come from the tribe of Judah, according to Genesis. He would come from the family of David, according to 2 Samuel. And he would be born a virgin, according to Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. All of this occurred just as the Bible said it would.
Amen.
There was nothing in the Scripture that Jesus did not fulfill. I've said this before, the Bible is about one-third prophetic. A lot of the prophecies have already been fulfilled.
Amen.
Up to this point. There's still a lot that has to be fulfilled and will be fulfilled. But everything that has been prophesied about Jesus Christ has come to pass.
Amen.
With His birth and with His life and with His death, His resurrection. We're waiting on His second coming. That might be today.
Amen.
We don't have the announcement given to us yet as to when He's coming. We don't know. Guys, gals, people, preachers, stop trying to figure out when He's coming. Because we don't know when He's coming.
Right.
It may be in your lifetime, it may not be in your lifetime.
Amen.
I know there's a lot of things going on around the world that would say, He's coming any minute. And He is. I think He's coming any minute. I believe that He's coming soon. But I just don't know what soon... Just don't know when soon is. Soon is soon. I may die before Jesus Christ comes back. But that's okay too, because I'm saved and I'm going to heaven, and I'll go either way. It doesn't matter to me. I'll take either or. Sometimes when a Christian dies, you get a little jealous for him, don't you? They're in the presence of the Lord right now. Mike Stout's in the presence of the Lord right now. Best thing to happen to Mike Stout was when he died this past week. It wasn't good for his family or for the church, but the best thing that ever happened to Mike Stout is when he got saved and then when he died this past week. He'll be missed, as every pastor, preacher. Someday, if I'm still around and I die, you might miss me a little bit for a day or two, and then you'll carry on. You'll move on to whoever else takes over. Paul, he's man enough.
You ain't dying.
No, I'll die someday. Unless the Lord comes back. I'd like this all to go in the rapture, wouldn't you?
Amen.
That's the way I'd like to go. Let's all go together. We'll just kind of listen for the trumpet, and we go from this planet to heaven. That's the way I'd like to go. But I don't know if that's in God's program. You don't know if it's in God's program for you either. Bethlehem means house of bread. That's what the name Bethlehem means, house of bread. Very fitting for Jesus Christ as the bread of life. He was born in that place. But here's the kicker, and here's the message today. I've given you all of these to make you feel good, because now we're going to get into the message that may not make you feel so good. Two words in verse 7 that I want to focus on. Just two words. And the message is found in these two words. No room. No room. Today, unfortunately, when we look out into this world and we even look at Christendom today, there's a lot of people today that have no room for the Lord. There's just no room in people's marriages today. Men doing what they want to do, women doing what they want to do, kids doing what they want to do, and there seems to be no room in the marriage today. Jesus is not first. Jesus is not the most important person in your life. I'm not saying you personally. I'm just saying my observations brought me to this message. There just seems to be very little room for God today. No room for God in the schools today. There's no room for God in the government today. Most of our government officials today could care less about Jesus Christ. They could care less about God. They could care less about the Word of God. And we know that that's true with the public schools and the public colleges today. There's very little room for Jesus or God in those institutions. In some companies, there is no room for God within that company. Thank God for the Christian employers that we have today that make sure that there's room for God within their organization. Thank God for that.
Thank God for
But I'll tell you, the Lord has been removed from so many places today.
Right.
There's just no room for him. You know what's very unfortunate? There are some churches today that have no room for Jesus Christ in their church. Some of you have been maybe around to different churches, and you've noticed that in some of these churches, there's just no salvation message. They have no clue what Bible to use. They don't believe in the virgin birth of Christ. They don't believe in the second coming of Christ. They don't believe in a lot of things. There's no room for God. What it's become is a social society. It's a coffee shop, coffee and donuts and cookies, and that's what it's all about. Is we're just going to gather together and just have a little bit of fellowship together. And then we'll send everybody home feeling so good. The preacher or preacherette will get up and he or she will give a few nice little words to the congregation and then release them off and they just go home feeling so, just prickly. I was just prickled today from that nice little message that Miss So-and-so brought. Yeah, you'll be prickled someday. Is there such a word?
No.
Made it up. The Christmas and Easter story has been changed. It's no longer Jesus Christ. It's Santa Claus.
Oh, yeah.
It's no longer Easter, the resurrection of Christ. It's the bunny. Chocolate eggs. That's what it is. It's Frosty and Rudolph and all of the other things that people think about today. And again, even Christians today have very little interest in Jesus Christ. We're told to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. We're told that in the Bible. Why do you think God had to put it in writing? Because we naturally don't want to do that. I see that in Mark, the book of Mark, chapter 12. Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. Mark 12, 30, the Bible says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength." This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Why are we told that in Scripture? Why doesn't that just come natural? Because it doesn't come natural. It has to be a supernatural thing that you and I love God with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. That is a supernatural thing. A lost person cannot fathom how to love God.
Right.
But even Christians sometimes have a hard time trying to figure out how can I do all the things in the world that I need to do and with my family and my job and still have time for God. And unfortunately, God gets sometimes the raw end of the deal.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Christian, come on, admit it.
That's right.
Even in your own personal life at times.
Yeah.
The Lord Jesus Christ, God, they come last.
Right.
You've got time for them, good, you'll stick them in there. But if you don't have time for God, other things come first. Just admit it, because that's the way it is. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, the Bible says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you."
Amen. That's good.
We are to seek God first.
Amen.
Colossians tells us that He is to have the preeminence. That means He comes first. Not second, third, fourth, or last. He's not my co-pilot, He's my pilot.
Amen.
He doesn't sit in the back seat telling me what to do. He sits in the front seat and He does the driving.
Amen.
I'm the one that sits in the back seat. You see where we're going with this?
Right.
But there seems to be just no room for God today. There seems to be no room for Jesus Christ, even within the Christian's realm of thinking. It's easier to stay home than to go to church. Yeah. It's easier to make up excuses why we don't do the things we do in our Christian life because we don't have room for Him. He's messing with my life.
All right.
He's messing with my thoughts. He's messing with my ideals. He's messing with what I want to do in life. Yeah. Colossians 3:1 says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. But our problem today is we have no room. We just don't have any room. James chapter 4. James 4 and verse 8. James 4:8, it says, draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you. Did you notice it says, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you? Did you notice that?
Yeah.
Some Christians think, no. I don't need to get close to God because He's there near me all the time. Well, James 4:8 says, you draw nigh to God. And when you draw nigh to God, God's going to draw nigh to you. Amen. That's what it says. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Well, we've got a bunch of double-minded people today. We've got double-minded husbands, double-minded wives, double-minded Christians, double-minded preachers. We've got a whole bunch of double-minded people today that have very little room for Jesus Christ. There was no room in the inn that night. So they stuck him. They stuck God in a manger. They stuck Him in a stable. They put Him in a barn. There's a lot of Christians today that's where they want to put God. We'll stick Him in the garage. We'll stick Him in the attic. We'll put Him in the basement. We'll put Him out back. We'll put Him in His own little place somewhere because we just don't have room for Him in our life. But boy, when they get in trouble, they are begging God to help them. Asking for God's help and assistance and presence. Well, wait a minute. You didn't have any room for Him a little while ago. You weren't drawing nigh to Him then, but boy, you want God to run to your aid and your rescue when you are in trouble, right? Yeah, that's the way we think at times. I often wonder how God thinks. When somebody ignores Him and ignores Him and ignores Him, and then all of a sudden God's like, wait a minute, who are you? What are you doing? What do you need? I haven't heard from you in months. I haven't seen you in the house of God in months, and you want me to rescue you now from whatever it is you're going through? Now listen, let me say, I'm not saying God can or won't do that. We'll just leave that up to the Lord. But the attitude today of so many, even Christians, Bible believers, is that God, when I talk to you, I expect you to be listening. When I need you, God, I expect you here immediately.
Yeah.
There's no room for the Savior today. We allow the world to come in. We allow the world to take over our lives, our families, our thoughts. And we push God away. And we just toss Him out there somewhere. And yet we want Him in kind of like an arm's reach, so when I need Him, I got Him. So number one, there's no room for the Savior. Number two, there's no room for the Spirit today. You know what we need more than anything else every single day of our life? A filling of the Holy Spirit. You know why we have problems in our marriages? Come on, guys and gals. You know why we act the way we do sometimes? It's because we have not been filled with the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
We need that filling in our lives every day.
Amen.
No, wait. We need the Spirit of God. We need a filling of the God, our Lord and Savior. We need that filling of the Spirit of God, not just every day, but every hour.
Amen.
No, wait. We don't need Him just every day and every hour. We need Him every minute.
That's right.
And we need Him every second.
Amen.
You ignore God and you let yourself get unfilled with the Holy Spirit, you know where that'll take you. You will say things and think things and do things that you know that you shouldn't do. That's because we don't allow, we don't have any room for the Holy Spirit of God to come into our life and control us. You know why? You want to control you. You don't want God to control you. You don't want the Holy Spirit controlling you, because if the Holy Spirit controlled you, you'd be a different, I'd be a different person. I wouldn't think the thoughts that I think. I wouldn't say the words that I say. I wouldn't do and go places that I shouldn't go to. You know that's true. We need a controlling of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Right. But we don't have room for the Spirit today. No, because you want to do what you want to do when you want to do it.
Amen.
And that's where we are.
Good preaching.
Christians all over the place. Not just, not, listen, man. Just telling you what I observe at times. We want to do what we want to do. And we want to go where we want to go. And we're going to buy what we want to buy. God, you can't tell me what to do. That's the attitude of a lot of people today. There's no room for the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God was designed by God Almighty, and remember, the Spirit of God is God, to control us. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians 6. I got to hurry if we want to get done here before 3 o'clock. So come on, turn over. I'm just kidding. Relax. Calm down. I see it on your faces. Suck it in like vodka is going on. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, it says, what? I can almost hear Paul say that, right? What? Yelling. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are yours?
God's.
You don't belong to you. You are not yours. You are not you to do whatever it is that you want to do in life, sir, ma'am, young person, old person. The Bible says the last three words of that verse is, which are God's. My body belongs to God. I can't put in it and smoke what I want and drink what I want and do all the things that I want to do that your flesh is telling you to do. Yeah. It's not your body to do what you want to do with it. You got a crazy group of people out there. It's my body. I control it. A bunch of women out there that want to just kill their babies because it's my body. I do what I want with it. No, it's not your body to go out and just commit murder and kill the baby that's inside of you. But we don't have any room today for the Spirit of God. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4:8. The Bible says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You can't think those six things without the Spirit of God helping you.
Amen.
Can't do it. I'm telling you, you can't do it. When you throw the Holy Spirit out and you don't have room for the Holy Spirit, you will not think that way.
Amen.
You will think evil every time. We need the Holy Spirit to control every part of our life, our minds, our hearts, our feet and our hands and our words, everything. We need the Holy Spirit to control us. But so many Christians today, they don't have no room. No room for the Savior, no room for the Spirit. Thirdly, there's no room today, it seems like, for the Scriptures. Where's Madeline? Madeline, wave your hand. I'm so sorry. I meant to ask you if I could use you as an illustration today.
That's fine.
You're okay with it, right?
Depending on what it is.
It's good. I'm not going to use it in a bad illustration. They recently got a new dog. Bruno is his name. He's out there in the van. If you want to look at him, go look at him after church. Bruno got saved within the last, what, 2 weeks?
Last Sunday.
Last Sunday? Was it last Sunday?
Yes.
Bruno literally ate her Bible. She had it sitting out in the van. Bruno ate it. Now, I've heard of dogs eating kids' homework conveniently, but Bruno ate. I've been thinking about this. Was it sweet to his taste or was it bitter to his taste? That's the two. That's what we read about, right? Sweet as honey. Depends on how you take the word of God, or it can be bitter, one or the other. So I'd like you to ask Bruno how it tasted. But here's the illustration. You know what? That bothered her greatly. How long did she cry over that?
The rest of the day
she cried because her dog ate her Bible.
Eat Bruno.
Would you? I would not recommend it. Would you cry if something happened to your Bible? When I heard that, it kind of touched my heart. That she would value her Bible so greatly. It was unreadable, right? I mean, you could not read that Bible. It was in shreds. She got another one just like the other one. They ordered her one exactly. She wanted a Bible just like that. She's already got all of her highlights and got all of her stuff in it. But that was touching to hear that her Bible meant that much to her that she would cry over the dog eating her Bible. But a lot of times the average Christian, they don't even have time to read their Bible.
That's right.
And if you end up, you know, misplacing your Bible, oh, so what?
Come on.
Oh, so what? How much is this of value to you personally? And I'm not saying my Bible. I'm saying the Bible that you have in your lap today. Is it of any value at all? If your dog or your guinea pig or whatever it is that you have got a hold of your Bible and just ripped it up. Now, she replaced her Bible. She got another one just like it. But the thing is she cried all day because of that. Why was it? Because it meant something to her.
Yeah, that's right.
Why did you cry the rest of the day over that?
Because I didn't have it anymore to read it.
Right. Gone. You know how many Christians out through the years didn't have the privilege that you and I have today?
Right.
How many copies of the Bible do you have laying around your house? I got about 20, and they're all King James.
Yeah.
Plus, I got a bunch of other versions in there that I don't look at. But we all usually have extra Bibles laying around. I carry a New Testament in my back pocket everywhere I go. You know that. Some of you do too. But today, there are so many Christians that the only time they read their Bible is if they bring it to church. If they remember to bring it to church.
Amen.
Ooh, I got to church and I forgot my Bible. Now please, I'm not picking on you, and I don't even know who you are right now. But
then
many times people have come to church, Pastor, I forgot my Bible. Do you have an extra Bible I could read or I could use? Sure, I'll give you an extra Bible. I don't know if it'll be King James the next time. I may throw you curveballs. Yeah, here, read this one. See if you can tell the difference. Well, you give me anything other than a King James, and I can tell the difference right away. Doug sent out a text this week. He was listening on the radio, right? It was on the radio. And in the version that they were using, it bothered him.
Yeah, right.
I said, well, Doug, just stick with the King James Bible. You're so much better. And I know he does. But does that bother you sometimes, too?
Yeah.
When you hear a different version quoted on the radio or in the TV or whatever? Yeah, it bothers me, too. It gives me the pricklies. A new word today we're going to get. No, it does. It bothers me because I know that's not really the Word of God. But there's no room for the Scriptures today. We've got to allow the Bible to penetrate and direct our life. Amen. Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. Joshua 1:8. I can probably quote it verbatim, but I don't want to mess it up. So I'm going to turn over to Joshua 1:8 and read it. Joshua 1:8. I'm going to read. For the sake of time, I'm just going to kind of hurry a little bit. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success.
Amen.
You will not be prosperous as a Christian, and you will not have good success if this book is important to you in your life. But today there seems to be very little room for Bible reading. We got new Bible reading calendars. I saw some people were passing them out today. I didn't get them out. Whoever did that, thank you for that. But I've got a box of them in the office. So if you want a Bible reading calendar, we have them available for 2023. How much?
10 bucks.
I can't hear him. What?
10 bucks.
10 bucks?
Yeah.
That's a lot of money for a Bible reading calendar, but hey, the money will go to a good cause if you come to me. No. No, they're free. The church bought them, so they're free to you. Psalm 119, verse 105, the Bible says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Many, many, many times when I open up the Word of God, I actually quote that verse. I say, "Lord, allow Your Word to be a light to my feet or a lamp to my feet. Let me see where my feet are going, but Lord, I also want to see down the path. I want to know where You're taking me, God." And so that's what the Bible will give you, that light that you need, that direction in your life that you need. Some of you are young here, some of you are older, and you don't know what God has for you yet in your life. Well, I'll tell you, this Bible will give you that direction when you read it. Psalm 119, 130, it says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple." That's me. Just simple. You know, we make time for other things, don't we?
Yeah.
Oh, we make time for television and for movies and for... We make time for this.
Yeah.
We make time for our computer. We make time for YouTube. Some of you are like addicted to YouTube. You got to watch everything on YouTube. Just watch our services on YouTube.
Yeah, cool.
People are addicted to their devices today. Some of you love to play games, and so you sit there for hours playing, exercising your thumbs, playing games. Never got into games. I can't do games. Kids would try to get us to, I can't do it. I don't know what to do. I have no coordination in these thumbs.
Come on.
I can barely handle the fork and the spoon, but I figured that one out. That's pretty good. But you know, you'll find time to do what you want to do.
Amen.
Yep. Whatever it is you want to do, you'll do it, won't you? Won't you? Come on, say it. Nod your head. This means yes, here in New York. Okay. Fourthly and finally, there's no room for service today. No room for service.
No more.
The attitude of many church members today is this. Let me tell you what the attitude of many today, and I'm not saying it's you, but it's, "Don't call me preacher, I'll call you." Or the attitude is today of many is, "No, I don't volunteer for nothing. If you need something, preacher, you can call me." No, I'm not listening. With an attitude, some of you need an attitude school. Send you to attitude readjustment school. There seems to be no room today for serving God in many churches today. Now, I got to tell you, I'm going to brag on you all a little bit. I'm going to brag on you today. Can I brag on you a little bit?
Amen.
Sure. I am so grateful and thankful for the people that we do have in our church.
Amen.
That serve God in our church.
Amen.
I am thankful for many of you men in this church that have the attitude, "Listen, preacher, if you need me to do something, just I'm here for you."
Amen.
That's a blessing. I am thankful that we have men in this church that are willing to fill a pulpit somewhere. You know how many churches there are today that have no men to serve and do anything in the church? They've got some ladies that can do things and, you know, make meals and teach some Sunday school classes and do some things. But some churches have very few men that are willing to serve God. I got to brag on the men in this church. We have some good men in this church that know how to serve God.
Amen.
Thank God for that. I praise the Lord for you guys. And I praise the Lord for you ladies that teach and work in a school and work in a nursery and do the things that you need to do around here. I'm thankful. Kathy and I are thankful for that. So often we could just step aside. We could go off somewhere and, "Hey, you're all in charge. Goodbye. See you later." It's getting cold and we're already thinking of south somewhere. And we can do that now. You know, been here a long time and got some of you guys can take over. And or if I get sick like I did last week, I had the flu, type A. Thank God for type A and not type B. Type B, you do this. I told you about that. I don't like to do that. I had type A, but Paul filled in for me last Wednesday. I could have maybe done it, but, you know, why do it when you got somebody that can do it, right? You're the man. And some of you ladies, Liz, Suzanne, I mean, they just go out of their way to make sure. Joanna just does thousands of things around here every day. Cleans up after you. Cleans up after your kids in school.
Oh boy.
Poor Liz, she is the cleanup police.
Yeah.
You don't want to get under, you want to make sure that you're good with her.
Yeah.
She'll come along, she'll smack you. Clean up, pick up that piece of paper. Or she'll tell me, hey, you know, I'll just use Jeffrey as an example. We're okay though, right? Where's Jeff? You back there?
They're out there.
They're where?
They're upstairs.
Oh, they're afraid. They're scared of me. Okay. Jeffrey left, you know, his popcorn thing, you know. Liz, she knows where every one of those kids, their trash is. And she'll tell me, hey, so-and-so left their thing down there. And I'll go get them. Get down there and clean up after yourself. We're not picking up after you. I know we sound mean, but we're trying to teach your kids to clean up after themselves. And sometimes we say, do you do this at home? And they look at me like, yeah. Well, you're not doing it here. Parents, teach your kids to clean up after themselves. Take their dishes to the sink and rinse them off or whatever. Or do the dishes.
Can we get them for
New Year's? Tell you what you do with the ear. You smack the ear. No. Don't hit your kids. Well, unless you have to spank them. But teach them. Listen, you've got to teach them.
Yeah, amen.
There's no room for discipline today. We could be here all day long with this. There's no room for special prayer or the service of prayer. There's no room for tithing today. There's no room for witnessing. There's no room for teaching. Sometimes when we're begging for Sunday school teachers. Thank God we have some people that volunteer to help us out. But listen, you've got to make room for the Savior. You've got to make room for the Spirit of God. You've got to make room for the Scriptures. You've got to make room for service.
Amen.
Stop being so selfish that you don't want to serve the Lord.
Amen. That's right.
It's my life, preacher. I've got to do what I want to do with it.
Oh, boy.
Well, you're not going to make any room for serving God. We'll close with one verse. I'm done. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. 1 Corinthians 15, 58, it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. When you serve God, it's not in vain.
That's right.
Well, I don't get any attaboys or pats on the back. The preacher doesn't recognize me from the pulpits, and I don't, you know, get a gift from him, or I don't do this or that. Listen, it's never in vain if you're doing it for the Lord.
Amen.
If you're doing it for recognition, sorry if I missed you. Sorry if I didn't. I'll pat you on the back. Just come up to me and say, preacher, I need a pat on the back. I'll pat you back. It may hurt for a little while, but I'll pat you back. Have you made room for the Lord today? They had no room in the end. And they stuck Jesus out in the barn. Let's not stick Jesus out in the barn. Let's not throw him in the garage or toss him under the bus or put him in the basement or stick him up in the attic. Let's make sure that you have room for Jesus Christ in your life today.
Amen.
Make room for Jesus Christ. Make room for the Spirit of God. Make room for the Scriptures. Get reading this Bible if you're not. I hope and pray we have a Bible reading church. This will change your family. This will change you, sir, husband, wife, kids. It'll change you. Make room for service.
Amen.
It's okay to volunteer to do something for God.
Right.
He'll honor that. You'll be blessed for it. Father, thank you again that for the message. Lord, I pray that we all, every one of us, would make room for you in our lives. Lord, if there's somebody here today that's never been saved, they need to immediately make room for you in their heart. And so, Lord, I pray that they would get saved today. Lord, maybe this message spoke to a Christian here today. I don't know. I have no idea. You told me what to preach. I do what you tell me to do. So, Lord, I pray that through the message, through the Scriptures, and right now through the Spirit of God, that you would bring conviction upon us all to make sure that we make room for you. Lord, bless this invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Heads bowed as people are praying with an attitude of prayer. If you need to come today for